Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
The Cowboys have fallen from NFC East favorites to start the year to now Pro Football Focus saying that they might not win more than one more game this season. At 2-5, they have seen a large number of injuries this season and may even be down to their third-string quarterback this week. Fox Sports NFL analyst Eric Dickerson joining us now. Eric, first of all, you look great. Congrats to the Dodgers. I know you're happy about that win, but I got to ask you about the Cowboys. What's the biggest reason for their collapse?
Well, I think the biggest reason is offensive line. I mean, I think a lot of people don't put a lot of stock into an offensive line, especially if you don't know football. You pick the guys outside, the quarterback, and the receivers make up a football team. But you start with your offensive line. Offensive line for the Dallas Cowboys has been decimated. I mean, I think they're playing with their third string backups. The right tackle's gone. The center retired. Another thing is you don't have any OTA. You have no preseason. You know, you don't get a chance to know your head coach. Your head coach and get a chance to know the offense. It's just a lot of problems over there right now. But the main thing, really, is the offensive line. I mean, and people ask me, oh, man, how does Zeke look? I mean, Zeke looks bad now. I said, look, it's not Zeke. I've been in that same situation. You know, when you don't have the guys up front, I don't care how great you are, how big you are, how fast you are. If those guys aren't blocking, you can't run. People have a tendency to forget that those are pros on the other side of that ball also. So they're there to stop you. But that's why, for me, when I had great offensive linemen, I would always buy them gear. I mean, I think that's important. I mean, the little money I was making, I was most definitely going to give it to my offensive line. I really believe the problem right there is the offensive line.
I think the collapse, I think they brought into the hype. There's too many excuses, ED. I mean, look, nobody had OTAs. Nobody had mini camps. Everybody had abbreviated training camps. Nobody had preseason games. Basically, everything was Zoom meetings and walkthrough. And this is no excuse. And you look at the defense, okay, Ha-Ha Clinton Dix was a big signing. Skip loved that signing. He couldn't even make it out of training camp. They signed Everson Griffin. He's being traded already.
Why is that? They bucked the system. They said, what you're trying to impose upon us, Mike Nolan, it does not work. And he said, okay, you're gone and you're gone.
Okay. Don Terry Poe. I haven't seen Don Terry Poe on the field in at least 2 to 3 games. And if it is, it's for one snap. Gerald McCoy got hurt. So all of the big names that they signed hasn't panned out, and their defense is awful. And we keep blaming. We blame the coach. Because remember last year, ED, it was all about Jason Garrett. Whoa, Jason Garrett. Oh, 8-8 Jason Garrett. He can't motivate. Still, somebody told me Jason Garrett couldn't motivate a bull out of a chute. I was like, what? Skip the game motivation. He said, no. So now they got rid of Jason Garrett. They got rid of Chris Richard. They got rid of Rod Marinelli. They bring in a made man. Skip told me Mike McCarthy, a made man. He made Aaron Rodgers. They got.
I didn't say that. They won a Super Bowl together a decade ago.
Oh, they got Mike McCarthy, a made man. Now, look, it's every single year, ED, we go through this. The Cowboys are supposed to do this. And we evaluate, we look at them, but look at that talent. ED, you've been around team. You know it takes more than just talent to win and to win big in this league. The Cowboys are hype. Jerry Jones has been selling them. He does a great job of selling them. But the Cowboys is not nearly as talented, not nearly as good as people make them out to be every single year.
Mm. So, I have a question for both of you Hall of Famers. Do you have any idea how hard this is on me, a lifelong Cowboy fan, to be living here in Los Angeles, to have to look at Eric Dickerson wearing a Dodger top, Tommy Lasorda jersey, because they just won the World Series last night. And I'm still having to put up with this man across from me because his LeBron-led Lakers won the championship, the COVID championship, cubic zirconia championship, but it is a championship nonetheless.
Thank you.
And I have to live with it. And the Rams are starting to look like they got a shot. That, I'm talking to the Rambassador here. They're looking pretty good. I know they laid an egg up at San Francisco, but they looked really good against the Bears on Monday night. And now I have to live with the team that is historically, inexplicably, all-time bad. I have never, Mr. Dickerson, seen anything like this in all my years of covering all the sports. Never have I seen it this bad for a team that most prognosticators really liked. Consensus pick to win the NFC East. Maybe a fifth or sixth choice among the odds makers to win the Super Bowl. I thought it was a pretty talented team. I said 10 wins. You said maybe 9. You gave them maybe 9.
Yep.
They don't even compete. It started with the opening drive on opening Sunday night at SoFi against your Rams, Mr. Rambassador. They just took the ball and drove it right down Dallas's throat and were up 7-0. And then here we went. Atlanta comes to Jerry World. They're up 20-0 after a quarter, 29-10 at halftime. At Seattle, my team is down 30-15 in the third quarter. Then here come the Browns, who were on and off. They were still struggling, hit and miss. They're up 41-14 in the third quarter. The Giants, while Dak was still afloat, still upright, still healthy, and the offensive line was still relatively healthy, they trailed the Giants 17-3 early in the second quarter before Andy Dalton finally stole that one back for them. And then Arizona, a Monday night football game, you just quit. You just roll over and play dead. And then you go play your arch rival in Washington, and you quit from the outset. You don't even compete. You're done after a quarter of that game on that run by Antonio Gibson, 12 yards. He just danced into the end zone. Even if it were flag football, they wouldn't have taken his flag. If we could see that, we're seeing it right now. So, Eric, I get what you say about the offensive line, but that's right now. It's decimated. Now they got no shot. Maybe Andy Dalton, maybe Ben DiNucci, the seventh-round rookie at quarterback. Okay, Philly's going to win this game 40-3. But when I look back, they never responded to the two new coaches, the head coach or the defensive coordinator. The two mics, drop the mics. I've said from the start, it just didn't work. Somehow, this team mutinied against both of them, rejected all the teaching and coaching on both sides of the ball because this is all-time bad. Worst defense maybe in the history of pro football, and the offense is running away with turnovers. They lead the league by far in turnovers and in turnover margin because they've only taken it away twice. That's the worst. What's going to happen? You're going to get blown out every game, and it has to go back to the coaches because I still see a lot of talent.
Skip, you ain't sure that 40-yard run that Antonio Gibson had first early.
It hurts too much.
They do have a lot of talent, and you're right. Think about, man, let's go back to Mike McCarthy. Remember Aaron Rodgers? You know, Aaron Rodgers, they didn't get along up there in Green Bay. You see why. I mean, Mike Nolan, his defense, I mean, it is horrible. I mean, one thing is, in players that, when you're on the field, you know what's going on. Sometimes coaches won't listen.
Yep.
Like, I'm serious. Coaches won't, we're like, Shannon, you know, man, we're out here in the battle. We know what's going on. We know what'll work. We know what they're looking at. They're calling the plays before we even run them. I mean, the Cowboys right now, when you hear the players saying, look, these coaches have us unprepared. They don't know what they're doing. You know, that's a bad sign. When you're losing, everything is magnified. When you're winning, I say this all the time, if you're winning, if you came in and threw a bunch of trash on the floor and the Cowboys right now were 7-0, everybody would be like, man, This is how we win. We just a bunch of guys having a good time. But when you're two and five, man, nobody cares. I mean, well, I take that back. They care about the Cowboys because they are the Cowboys. They expect more out of them. But right now, this team is just, they're not a unit. They're not a good fit you got stars over here. You got stars over there. When you don't have Dak, and I said this before, when I know, Shannon, you're not a big Dak fan. I just think Dak's the best thing for the Cowboys. But when you lost Dak, you lost everything right there. I mean, I saw it coming. I mean, when you lost your leader, your quarterback, the guys who they respond to, like that hit they put on Andy Dalton, if that would have been Dak they'd have hit, the whole team would have responded. So, you know, this team is like, hey, man, we're not responding to these coaches, and, you know, we just waiting for the season to be over with. You can tell. You know, they're just waiting for week 16.
Eric, do you realize how blessed both of you were? You got to play for the great John Robinson, obviously for Ron Meyer, who you played for at SMU, and Shannon got Mike Shanahan and Ryan Billick, and you did, and Dan Reeves. It's greatness. You know, like you have people you admire and you fear a little bit because you know they are really good at what they're doing. You believe in what they're telling you, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, that's true.
But Edie, I think the biggest thing for me is that I always played for coaches that ownership stayed out of it. Mr. Bowler didn't have a radio show. He didn't have a TV show. Art Modell did not have a radio show. He did not have a TV show. So whatever the coaches, I never thought for one second that if something happened on the field and the coaches, that I could go upstairs to Mr. B or I could go upstairs to Art Modell. Where did he do that at, Edie? You can't do that because if you can circumvent the coach's authority, now the players know that you can do that. Well, he has nothing. And that's what Jerry Jones has allowed these players to do since Jimmy left and Parcells. So basically, in his 30-year tenure, he's on the team, is that for what? Jimmy was there for what, 5 years? From what?
93.
Five years. Mm-hmm. And then Parcells was there for what, like three, 4 years. So for basically 9 years, the players had to be held accountable by the head coach. They couldn't go to Jerry. Once that's been removed, the players can go to Jerry with Jerry. Jerry's like, want to be their buddy. And he takes matters into their own hand. Jerry's a bigger part of the problem than he actually realized.
I agree.
That's the problem. He doesn't realize that he's the problem.
Well, Jerry's the most famous Cowboy of all.
Yeah, and that's not a good thing, though, Ed.
That's not a good thing. I agree.
Yeah, and you know what? We're obviously about to have elections here in this country. I wish as fans we could vote Jerry out, but we can't.
You can't.
We can't remove him.
That's the thing.
Right?
That's forever. That's like the Supreme Court.
It is.
That's until they decide to go.
No mercy.
When it comes to travel, we all know that feeling of wanting to escape to our happy place, whether it's hitting the beach, the ski slopes, or just kicking it with your crew in a tropical paradise. And Priceline wants you to get there and be very happy with a happy price. So you never have to miss a trip. Let me tell you, Priceline has got your back to make it all happen. My happy place is Cabo San Lucas, Mexico. Picture this: crystal clear waters, golden sands, and sun shining down on you like it's your personal spotlight. That's right. Cabo is my ultimate happy place. And you know what makes it even better? Priceline's VIP family feature. You heard it from me. That's right. VIP treatment for you and your squad. Imagine being with your crew, soaking up the sun and living your best life. And while scoring deals up to 5 times faster, it's like scoring a game-winning touchdown on vacation. Now, who am I taking with me to Cabo? To that epic trip, that adventure? My boys, my ride or dies, my crew, ones who've been there through thick and thin from the beginning to the end. I'm not taking any kids, no kids, just me and the boys living it up. So what are you waiting for? Download the Priceline app today and save up to 60% off select hotels and go to your favorite happy price with Priceline. Make some memories that'll last a lifetime. Cabo ain't ready for me or us, but we're ready for Cabo. Thanks to Priceline, the real MVP of travel.
This weekend starts Saturday strong with the big noon Saturday game of the week. Jim Harbaugh and the 13th-ranked Wolverines face off with the Spartans in one of the wildest Big Ten rivalries. It all starts with big noon kickoff at 10 Eastern, and then it's Michigan State, Michigan, Saturday at noon Eastern on Fox and the Fox Sports app. Hey, maybe Tom Brady will be watching the Wolverines as well. And after 7 total touchdowns and no interceptions the past 2 weeks, Brady has officially entered the MVP discussion. The 43-year-old QB is now in the top 5 for MVP favorites after back-to-back wins and will look to improve his odds as he faces the Giants this weekend. Eric Dickerson, who, by the way, we haven't forgotten, has called Brady a, quote, old-ass man several times on this show. He's still with us. Eric, how surprised are you at what Tom Brady is doing at 43?
Well, you know, I got to say, the old-ass man has proven me wrong. But, you know, he plays position of quarterback. And let's not forget, Tom Brady is a great quarterback, possibly the greatest quarterback to ever play. You know, not having no OTAs, you know, not really knowing this offense very well, a new football team, a new city, new offense, everything. In the last 3 weeks, he has 15 touchdowns, 1 interception. I mean, he's playing fantastic. I mean, he's throwing the ball as good or better than any quarterback right now in the National Football League. That touchdown he threw to Scotty Miller in the corner of the end zone was a perfect throw. I mean, it had to be perfectly thrown, and he's throwing. It's like, it's almost like he's playing 7-on-7 football when you watch him. I mean, this pass right here. I mean, it's like that pass right is perfect. I mean, if not, he's out the end zone. So for Tom Brady, most definitely, you know, I think he's playing like an MVP. And if you look at their schedule in December, I mean, they've got the Vikings, they've got the Falcons, they've got the Lions, and they've got the Falcons again in December. So he's got some numbers he can probably put up because, you know, all those defense they're playing, they're very poor against the pass. But, you know, I think he's playing fantastic. And for a 43-year-old man, I'll say it again, man, he's playing great. And I'll say the position, quarterback. He ain't going to be no running back at 43 years old, for sure.
He'll be able to, maybe a kicker. He could be, I think, Adam Vinatieri was, what, 46 last year?
Yeah.
So, Tom Brady is coming off the best game this season, but I think he threw the ball better Sunday than I've seen him throw in a year and a half, 2 years. And he's had some bad moments. The pick sixes, forgetting that it was fourth down, but to bounce back with the way he threw the ball on Sunday, I was very impressed. Now, did I think Tom Brady could play well? Yes, I thought he could play well. Given what he had, I'm surprised that he's playing as well as he is so early. And I think the biggest thing is, I don't care what anybody says, this is not Bruce Arians' offense. They're letting Tom Brady do what Tom Brady does. A lot of shallow crosses, a lot of overs to Gronk. And we can see, Skip, we're seeing Gronk starting to look like Gronk again.
He is.
We see Scotty Miller running a lot of the routes that Amendola, Edelman ran. We see him accept the run. They didn't get down the field like this kid. This kid can get down the field.
You know what? He's fly. I think he runs 4.3.
He can run fast. I don't know if he's 4.3, but he can run fast. And Brady was going to be in the conversation for MVP. Brady is one of these guys like LeBron and like Peyton Manning. Every year, Peyton Manning's going to be in the MVP conversation, Skip, because he's going to have numbers and his teams are going to win. LeBron's going to be in the MVP conversation. Tom, it was going to be in the MVP conversation because they were 9-7 last year. So if they go, they win 12, they win the division, they get a first or second seed, he was going to have to be in the conversation because think about what they were last year. And now that he has an outstanding defense, I don't believe his defense are playing any better. They're playing fewer snaps. It's hard to play when your quarterback turns the football over and you get the ball on the 1 yard line.
You want to talk about sudden change?
Yeah.
When you lead the league in turnovers?
So Lord, now all of a sudden, Skip, instead of playing 75, 80 snaps, they're playing 60 snaps, and their teams are having to drive the ball as opposed to getting the ball on the 10 because Jameis fumbled, because Jameis threw an interception. So Brady deservedly is in the MVP conversation. I got him behind Russ. I got Rodgers. And unfortunately, Skip, I got Mahomes in front of him. People are not talking about Mahomes, but he's still having he's 16 touchdowns with one pick. Rodgers is 17-2, and Russ is 22-6. But he's definitely top 5 in the MVP conversation. I think Jenny said he's 4th. and deservedly so.
Mm, wait, the same Aaron Rodgers who folded like my pocket square against Tom Brady?
Whoa.
Folded like my pocket square.
Your guy got beat by Nick Foles. Mm. You see what Nick Foles just did on Sunday night?
20-19, he got beaten by Nick Foles. Who's his kryptonite? I can't explain it. Eli and Nick Foles. I don't know. Back to my man, E.D. He was doing great, eating him some old-ass man crow, and he was going right down the yellow brick road toward Tom Brady's greatness, and then he suddenly said he's possibly the greatest quarterback ever. Possibly? Who else would you suggest?
I'm a Joe Montana, man. I'm sorry. See that San Francisco helmet? I don't like that he signed it for me. I'm not a 49er fan, but I'm a Joe Montana guy.
Okay, that's fair enough.
But there we go.
All right, so, Eric, think about this. The 43-year-old Tom Brady leads the whole league in what Pro Football Focus calls big-time throws. He's got 24. He also leads the league in fewest what they call turnover-worthy throws. So you combine big-time plus fewest turnover-worthy, you got a team that's got a shot to win it all. Because Jameis, through this point last year, that team had 17 turnovers through seven games. Now they have seven. They're plus five in turnover differential. That's how you win championships.
Absolutely.
And you can see Tom Brady, after he threw that little fit on the sidelines in that game in question at Chicago, he went after, he roasted his offensive line on the sideline. All of a sudden, they're playing the cleanest football in the league. No turnovers the last two games. No sacks the last two games. He is now imposing his sort of New England Patriot way culture on Tampa, and they're starting to resemble the way the Patriots play.
I do agree with that. I mean, you do see some of Tom Brady putting some of his touch on that football team. I'm going to tell you, I think the thing that's going to really help them is the sign of Antonio Brown. I mean, and I really believe that Tom Brady had a lot to do with that. Think about when he was in New England. He was there. He had five catches for a touchdown in one game. And people say, oh, man, he won't be ready to play. I'm going to tell you something. He was one of the best. He's probably the best receiver in the National Football League when he left the NFL. Runs great routes, works out hard.
Yep.
I mean, first of all, you got Mike Evans. You got Chris Goodwin, who's hurt. You know, now you got Gronk, who's playing like Gronk again because he's getting comfortable. So this team will be very dangerous. I mean, I got, I know you love Tom more than I love Tom, Skip, for sure. But I think Tom is playing fantastic football. Do I think he's a great quarterback? No doubt. If not number one, number two. In your book, number one, it's, you know, I always say it's who you saw play. I played against Joe Montana. I didn't play defense, but I saw him play up close. So that's my guy. And Tom Brady's your guy. But most definitely, he's playing MVP football right now.
I was watching, Skip, what is that thing that show that Peyton Manning does? And he was breaking down Tom Brady.
Details.
Yeah. And he says, I wonder what took him so long to allow Tom to run Tom plays.
Yep.
He says, you can tell this is Tom's offense.
Yep.
And all this other stuff, no risk it, no biscuit. We're going to just throw the ball down. No, you're not. Because you got Roe Jones, who's fourth in the league in rushing. They didn't run the ball particularly well on Sunday, E.D., but they ran it enough that when he put his hand in his belly and he rolled over and those linebackers stepped up, Gronk was right in there behind him. Scotty Miller was right in there behind him. Mike Evans was right in there behind him. And that's what Tom Brady likes to live. And then he catches you looking in the backfield, Lawson, and then he throws the ball over your head. Tom Brady is not a guy that plays for field goals. Tom Brady will catch you. Oh, okay. He ain't going to throw this ball. And next thing you know, he's launching the ball 55 air distance in the air, in the back pile on the end zone, and they got a touchdown right before the half. And then they get the ball coming out the second half.
Yep. So I got to ask the two Hall of Famers I'm talking to right now, is there any resentment on either of your parts that he is still going strong at 43 when your positions did not allow you to play into your 40s?
My position wouldn't allow that, for sure.
I wanted to play one more year and had CBS not called me and offered me basically the same money that I was going to make playing football, I would have played that year. But that was it. 15 was going to be it for me. So either I was going to be 15 and retired or I was going to be 15 on somebody's TV. But no, Skip, those licks hurt, man. I mean, it got to the point. I was sore until Friday and Saturday. No, I wanted no more parts of that.
You should have played quarterback.
I couldn't play no. Nah, Skip, it wasn't like it is now. Skip.
You didn't play quarterback.
Okay. Nah, they wouldn't let you play quarterback like that. No. Skip back then. No mercy.
The Dodgers ended their 32-year title drought with a Game 6 win last night that included a shortened season and a playoff bubble. All this while L.A. was just coming off the high of LeBron leading the Lakers to their 17th title in the Orlando bubble in just his second year with the team. So, Shannon, which championship run was more impressive to you, Lakers or Dodgers?
Be honest.
Honest.
I mean, it's really hard to say either one because both what you fought for didn't come to fruition. You fought to be the number one seed so you could have home field or home court, and you ended up having to play in a bubble, and then you end up having to play however far Arlington, Texas is from California as your home field. Mm-hmm. So for me, Skip, if you look at it, the Dodgers beat the number 8 seed Brewers 2-0. The Lakers beat the 8 seed, the greatest 8 seed ever, Portland.
I'll give you that one. Okay. That's even Steven.
Okay.
All right.
The Dodgers beat the 4 seed, the Padres. We beat the 4 seed.
Mm.
Who is that, Skip? The Houston Rockets with two MVPs, James Harden, who's revolutionized basketball.
Wait, the Padres had the second best record in the National League, though.
Whoa.
Okay, go ahead.
You guys beat the Braves.
Mm-hmm.
4-3. Braves was up 3-1. That was the 2 seed. We beat the Nuggets, which was the 3 seed, because the 2 seed that we should have been playing gagged.
Mm.
Okay, then they beat the Rays. We beat the Heat. The Rays now, the Rays were the fourth favorite
mm-hmm.
in preseason betting odds. The Dodgers were the favorite. So, Skip, I mean, both, it's like, which is heavier, a ton of bricks or a ton of feathers?
Mm.
They said the Lakers, we were going to be like the fifth or the sixth, the fourth or the fifth seed, the sixth seed in the West. We weren't even supposed to be here, remember? It was Clippers, because we weren't mentally tough. Remember you said that, Skip?
Yep.
Oh, the Nuggets going to be better. All these executives said, well, who's going to get to the Western Conference Finals? Who's going to get to the NBA Finals? Poor little Laker couldn't even get a vote.
Mm.
Nobody voted for us. And then they robbed us of the MVP. They robbed us of Defensive Player of the Year. They robbed us of Executive of the Year. Mm. They gave Executive of the Year to Lawrence Frank. Skip, you know we deserve that.
And wait, he's with the Clippers. Go ahead.
We got AD. Y'all got Paul George.
Mm.
Even after Kawhi Leonard did a switcheroo on us,
mm-hmm.
we had to put the pieces. Okay, we got to get Danny Green.
He bamboozled you.
And guess what he got?
Mm.
Guess what he got? Guess what we got? Mm. It's equal, Skip, 50-50. It ain't no, because what everybody fought for. They were 60 games, they were 43-17. They wanted home field, wanted to see Dodger fans, see them celebrate. That didn't happen because of COVID. We fought to be able to have our home games in Staples. That didn't happen. So the mental aspect of it is that you're isolated from your family. You got to do this mentally. I keep telling you, Skip, the greatest key to survival is not size. People think it's size and speed and strength. It's adaptability.
Mm.
You see, the alligator's been around for 60 million years because it's been able to adapt.
Mm.
We were able to win championships. We, Laker Nation, City of Champions, City of Angels.
Mm.
Because we could adapt, you couldn't.
Mm. The Dodgers just proved to you they could adapt to any circumstance and situation because they scratched and clawed down one of the toughest roads to a championship you will ever see. Meanwhile, your Lakers cakewalked through a bubble owned by LeBron James.
How?
Cakewalked.
How? Let me ask you a question. How did he own the bubble? There was the same circumstances. Everybody else was in the same environment as the Dodgers. The Rays was quarantined, was isolated. The Padres were isolated. The Braves were isolated. The Brewers were isolated. They got no benefit.
Those were all soft bubbles because they weren't exactly keeping you in a confined space. You could go out at night. You could go away. You could see your loved ones. It was different.
Well, that's what happened. That's why they had all these forfeits.
Okay, that is exactly right. What did you get to do? LeBron got to take your team to the bubble because he smelled blood. He said, I got this. I can go back to my AAU days, and I'm going to take my team, I'm going to lead my team, and I'm going to show them. How long did it last? 2 months or whatever?
3 months. They were there 95
almost 3 days. Months. Yeah. We will suck it up, and we will embrace the bubble in ways that the Clippers, the team that would have beaten you if you had ever
met. Well, now, since you told me that, that the Dodgers, that it was a soft bubble, the Lakers had to talk, because there wasn't nothing soft about their bubble. Because guys got sent away when they did things. You remember Danielle House?
Yeah,
guys got sent away. So the Lakers had to tough it because they were in an actual bubble and they were actually quarantined and they had no positive test for 95 of those days.
Okay, and thank you for bringing up the Rockets because in the second round, the divisional round in baseball, the Dodgers had to face the Padres, who, to use a baseball term, could rake.
Yeah.
They had the second best record in the National League, and they were formidable.
Machado and Tease.
Yes, you got it. And the Dodgers shut them down and shut them up.
Yep.
3-0.
Yes.
And that was it. And then here came the Braves.
Yes.
Third best record in the National League. They led the National League in hits and in on base, and they were second in runs scored and second in home runs. Nuggets, I don't think so.
Oh, yeah,
the Braves were serious business,
yeah.
And the Dodgers were almost done.
They
were down 3-1, and it looked pretty hopeless, and here came the Dodgers scratching and clawing back into this. LeBron and company never faced the kind of adversity that the Dodgers faced against the Braves because the Braves were really good. They were 50-50
Skip,
with the Dodgers.
When you like us, Skip, you don't have to worry about adversity. When you got the old Goat James,
yep,
and you got LeBron, you got Baby Goat, what adversity goes over
there? Guess who was waiting for you, for the Dodgers, in the World Series? The Rays,
yeah,
with the second best record in all of baseball. They were a team from top to bottom. They were difficult to deal with. And wait a second, did Blake Snell and Arozarena, let's take those two. Did they get hurt in game one of the World Series? They did not.
Mm-mm.
What happened? Goran Dragic got hurt. He was their leading scorer of the Miami Heat in the finals, in the playoffs. He got hurt in game one and was gone. And Bam hurt his shoulder and was never the same after game one.
We beat the brakes off you. Remember, we had a 20-point lead, mm-hmm, when all those guys got hurt.
Yeah,
we beat the brakes off you in game one.
Yeah.
With Bam and Dragic.
You didn't have 20, you had a 40-point lead.
Exactly.
Yeah.
With Bam and Dragic.
The Rays were serious business. It took an inexplicably dumb decision by the manager, Kevin Cash, last night in the sixth inning to give you the one break that you got, Dodgers, to get home in six games. It looked like it was headed for game seven.
But think about what we had to do. We had to... We're a big team. We like to start JaVale. And then we get to the Rockets, and we got to start Marquise Morris. And then we get to the finals, and we normally like to start. We were playing Dwight Howard because Dwight Howard is stepping to the starting lineup against Jokic. So now we get there, and guess what we do? Say, you know what? Frankie V, the guy that didn't nobody want, he was the 15th option.
Yep.
And he says, you know what? Caruso, get in there.
Mm.
So the adjustments, see, that was the Dodgers won because they didn't win because of this. I believe they still would have won, probably taking them game seven, because Kevin Cash made a boneheaded move.
Yep.
We had to make strategic moves because that's what we do. Because we want to play big. Okay, y'all got bigs. Okay, we play bigs. Y'all want to play medium? We'll play medium. Y'all want to play small? We'll play small.
Mm.
And considering that they weren't totally fully isolated, that they still could go see their loved ones, and they could go and come as they please, what the Lakers? We were quarantined, Skip. We were 95 days. Somebody had to come. If you wanted a special kind of food, somebody had to come drop it off. Y'all get to go to the restaurant. Y'all got to go to Mastro's. Y'all got to go to Noble, all these fancy places. We had none of that.
The Rays were the Clippers, and the Dodgers beat the Rays in six. They beat the equivalent of the Clippers because they had to face the Rays.
Well, what if the Clippers had a gag because they beat the Astros? They had a big lead. Remember, they were up 3-1. They were up 3-0. What if they had a gag? So If the Rays had gagged after being up 3-1, Skip, all you can do is beat who's in front of you. And because we beat who was in front of us, after being isolated, Skip, we were stranded on that bubble island for 95 days with nobody to come
Advantage
break.
Advantage LeBron.
Whoa.
Did you see what my friend Jared Dudley said last week on a podcast about the Clippers? He said those boys did not want to be in the bubble. They didn't want to go in the first place, and they didn't want to stay, and some of them didn't want to stay.
Skip.
Their hearts were not in it. Advantage LeBron.
That's like me growing up. There were a lot of guys that were equally as talented as Shannon Sharp, but them boys didn't want it like Shannon Sharp. How is that my fault? How is that LeBron's fault that they didn't want it?
Cakewalk.
You told me that Kawhi was tough in the sideboard. And the thing that everybody said to a person, the thing that separates the Clippers from the Lakers is mental toughness from the head coach down 1 through 15. And the very thing that you said was the very thing that made them weak. If you're not careful, you'll become the very thing you despise the most in a person.
Yeah, right. Congratulations on your cakewalk.
We got Mookie.
Congratulations to the Dodgers because they earned theirs.
And guess what? And they're going to be there for a while. They're young.
Yeah.
Urias. Ooh, Skip, did you see him throwing that? I told you.
Urias.
I told you, Skip. I said, hey, as long as that, look, Jansen, hey, I know you mean well, but we couldn't let you get there. We couldn't get you the ball that night.
Nope.
We couldn't get you the
ball. They made that mistake once.
We couldn't get you the ball that night. I'm sorry, bro. And then we got Mookie. We got Mookie for 11 more years.
You do.
Now, we ain't got Bron that long. We got Bron for about another 3 to 5. But I see, guess what, Skip? Did you see the odds? Guess who favored to win it again?
The Dodgers.
And the NBA.
And the Clippers.
No, stop it. So we're going to have, guess what? 2020. So
we're
going to have a parade for four champs. Twice for the Lakers, twice for the Dodgers. So we're going to have a parade by 7 million people next year in 2021.
Just a parade full of everyone.
No mercy.
Tomorrow, Matt Ryan and the Falcons need a win to get their season back on track as they take on NFC South rivals Teddy Bridgewater and the Panthers. It all starts at 7:30 Eastern on Fox, NFL Network, and streaming on Amazon Prime. Doug Bryan is one step closer to playing in his first NFL game since 2017. And yesterday, the Ravens signed the All-Pro receiver to their practice squad. Upon getting the opportunity, Dez tweeted, "My emotions running high right now. I'm thankful. I can't stop crying." Followed by the laughing, crying emoji. So, Shannon, how do you feel about him signing with Baltimore's practice squad?
Skip, I'm extremely happy for Dez. It shows me that he really wants to play. I think they had him in, and they said, look, we need you to be in a little better shape. And it looks like he went home, he worked, got in better shape, and they brought him back and says, hey, now, they could use Dez. They have the worst receiving core as far as production.
They do.
With catches and yards and touchdowns and things of that nature, Skip. So maybe Dez is a person that could help them out immensely. And in order for them to go to ultimately where they need to be, Skip, they're going to have to throw the football. Yeah, we know they can run it. But what happens when you don't have the lead and you got to throw it? And we've seen over the last couple of years, Lamar Jackson gets to the playoffs, they fall behind, and he's unable to bring them back throwing the football. And so hopefully Dez, I don't know what Dez has left. You're asking an awful lot, Skip. A guy that hadn't played in a long period of time, who was never a burner to begin with, suffers an Achilles injury.
Yep.
And so we don't know what we're going to get. This is uncharted territory. We haven't seen anything like this. Basically, he's Josh Gordon, but Josh Gordon was 4 to 5 years younger when he returned than what Dez is currently. And Josh Gordon didn't have the injury that Dez. It was just, you know, we know Josh Gordon's story. So I'm happy for him, Skip, that he's willing to start at the bottom and to work his way back and says, all I want was an opportunity. You got my foot in the door. Because remember, Skip, they tried to sign Dez immediately after he got released. And he said no. It turns down 3 years, $21 million to come
by
back.
Baltimore.
To come back and basically take a $12,000 a week job.
Wow.
I'm happy for him. Hopefully it works out.
Ditto. When I read his tweet last night that ends with, I can't stop crying, it nearly brought a tear to my eye because this still young man, he's 31, he has suffered. He went from the top of the mountain in 2014. He put up one of those years that you look back on and say, that was a year.
Right.
He dominated this league in 2014, led it in touchdown catches. Whew. First team all pro. And I'm on TV every day. I'm throwing up the X.
Every Sunday.
Right.
Every Monday morning, you coming in throwing up the X.
And that year obviously ended in Green Bay, in which Dez caught it.
They finally didn't catch one.
Just for posterity, could we see it
no!
one more time? Yes! He caught it, and he ran with it, and he slammed it on the goal line with his left hand like a running back would, and the ref on the spot raised his hands to say, touchdown, until it went to replay review. That's a touchdown.
Upon further review.
Upon further review, it's not a catch, said somebody in New York, I guess. That's a touchdown. Caught it, ran with it, slammed it on the goal line. Complete control. It bobbled even as he hit the ground, and it came up on top of him, so it never touched the ground after he slammed it on the ground. This is as much of a catch as you will ever see. That's a catch. He ran two strides with it and had such control in his left hand, because he's left-handed, he slammed it on the goal line. That's how I will remember Dez Bryant, because my team would have won that game and gone on to Seattle, where they had won in the regular season, and they just might have beaten those Seahawks again and gotten to the Super Bowl. They would have run into Tom Brady. That would
right.
have been
another
score.
Right, he caught a buzzsaw, so no.
Yep, okay, I got that. But that was really the height of Dez Bryant. And what was he best at? He had incredible all-time rapport with Tony mm-hmm. Romo. They loved each other because Tony liked to just throw it up for grabs.
Yes.
And the one guy who could go up and grab it the yes. most was this guy.
Yep.
Wasn't the fastest, but he was big and strong and powerful, and he could leap mm-hmm. and play basketball and high point you and beat your brains out. He did make the Pro Bowl in Dak's first year, so I give him that, but the numbers are about half of what he did in 2014.
Correct.
Jerry paid him after 2014, and he earned it.
Yes.
He got, what, 5 years, $70 million.
Right. Whew.
And then Jerry came to regret it because he began to fall apart. He had a Jones fracture. He had this and that and the other, and he had no chemistry at all with Dak, and they fell apart. And pretty soon he's out. And then he's out of the league, and to your point, he has an Achilles tear. And it did my heart good just, what was it, a couple of months ago, we saw the video of him catching off-season passes in that workout facility mm-hmm. in Fort Worth from your homeboy.
Yep.
Because Patrick Mahomes still has high regard for what Dez Bryant used to be,
right.
what he achieved in this mm-hmm. league. So, again, do I think he could contribute for the Ravens? Well, not much contribution there. They're
right.
31st ranked in passing.
Yeah, 189 yards a game, maybe
yep.
in the 50s, 60s, 70s. Even early 90s, I mean, that was good enough. You had a sound running game,
yep.
could play defense. But not in today's game.
Yep.
In today's game, Skip, you need a guy, because it's going to come a time that this says, okay, we're not going to let you run the football,
yep.
and in order to beat us, you're going to have to throw yourself to a victory.
Yeah.
And right now, what concerns me is that, is Lamar going to advance enough? Because he's going to have to trust that he's going to put the ball up and Dez can come down with it.
Yep, I agree.
That's what it's going to come down to. It's all about trust.
Yep, and mostly red zone trust.
Yes, yes.
Because
yes.
Dez can still do that.
Right.
Maybe some third down possession receptions.
Right.
But I'm rooting for him.
I am too,
and
Skip.
And by the way, on December the 3rd, the Dallas Cowboys visit the Baltimore Ravens. So just for Dez's sake and our sake, because it'd be fun to watch.
Oh, they're going
to
run for 400 yards on y'all.
Yeah, here we go.
Y'all just gave up 200-plus yards to Washington. You gave up 300 yards to Cleveland.
307 rushing.
Oh, y'all better give up 400 to the Ravens.
So maybe they won't need Dez that night, right?
What you call going to be the first quarterback to rush for 200 yards, Lamar, to rush for 200 yards on y'all?
Yep, you could be right, and I can't even argue.
No mercy.